Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots non-profit radio station in Laguna Beach, California, from anywhere in the world on kx935.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. But right now, here's that podcast from KX93.5. You are listening to KX93.5, Laguna's only FM radio station, and I'm Jason Feddy, in for Tyler Russell, who normally does a slot every month on the third Monday of the month, which is today. It's the Emergency Preparedness Radio Programme, and it's for half an hour once a month. And usually, Officer Jordan comes in here, and he's the Emergency Management Coordinator for the city. But this week, luckily, we've got two novices, me, on the radio, I mean. I'm not talking about novices in life, but just for this particular show, I'm Jason Feddy, and I've never done this before. And here's Laura Farinella. She's the new Chief of Police in Laguna Beach. Very nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
I know. I'm delighted. And you've never been to our little studio before, huh?
No, this is so nice. You have a great view and a great location.
I know. We're very lucky. It's pretty cool.
It is.
And we like to do stuff, you know, in town that's, well, it's important for us to not just play music, but to provide some sort of community service and be, we like to, want what we'd like to be is the glue that binds the city together. So if you need information about whatever, you can come to us. And also in terms of emergency preparedness, which is what we're really here to talk about, we've got the generator and if there's, God forbid, some horrible disaster happens in town, we'd be people's first port of call. You know, we'd be the first to let people know what was going on and where to gather and what to do. Yeah. Let's talk a bit about you though first, because you're new in town and everyone's very excited. We've got a new police chief, 25 years on the force in Long Beach.
That's correct.
Right?
Yes.
I was reading about you today. 4 years as a deputy chief there.
That's correct.
And that was a big deal for I don't really like to talk about the sort of glass ceiling thing, but for a woman to become a police chief there was a big deal, right?
Yes, I was the first female deputy chief that they'd ever had in their 103-year history. But then again, law enforcement, 90% of the employees or more in your organization are men. So
yeah,
there's not as many to choose from as there are as men.
Right, that's true. That's probably true. But do you think there is that? Is there still that sort of, I don't know what the term is, sausage fest going on in the police force? It's a lot of men.
It's a lot of men, and I think that traditionally women, it's shift work. So if you want to be a mom and you want to raise kids, shift work isn't always advantageous to being a parent. And so that can be kind of problematic. And then you have to understand, too, is even if you come on and you love the job, if you do want to have a family, every time you have a kid, it kind of steps you back a little bit. And that can happen as a woman rolling through your career, I think, whether you're a CEO at Xerox or you're working for law enforcement. So I think that kind of prevents women from going to the top because they say, what's most important is my family, not the job, even though I love it, you know. Yeah. And so they won't rise to the higher levels of an organization.
More difficult to get promoted in that situation. How many kids have you got?
Two.
Do you? How old?
Yes, I have a 17-year-old daughter and an 11-year-old boy.
Wow. You're right in the thick of it. 17-year-old daughter. How's she doing?
She's doing great. She'll be a senior next year. She's almost finishing up in the next couple of weeks her junior year. So she's doing really, really good. And then we have an 11-year-old son, and he loves, you know, soccer, football, that's his favorite thing is just to play soccer all day long.
Great. Well, you know, I met him the other day, actually. I met you and your wife and the boy at the city's open house thing on Saturday.
Yes.
A lot of fun. We met a lot of people there, a lot of people from all the different departments there, from the city, from the police and the fire department, the sexy ones down to code enforcement. This poor lady standing behind the table, nobody wanted to talk to the code enforcer. You know, I went over there with a hot dog and said,
thanks for being there too, because you really helped get our message out about that day, and it was a wonderful event. Tons of people came by and just stopped and said hello and got to know us a little more on a personal level.
No, it's great. It's good to put a face to the, because during the week you guys are so under pressure and working so hard that there's not much time for chit chat. So that is a great event.
Yes.
For just from that point of view, to really humanizes everybody and makes everybody three-dimensional. So it was a very good, it was a brilliant event, I thought.
Well, great, great. Thanks for being there with us.
Yeah, totally. And you have something in common with other people that work at this radio station, because you have a bachelor's from Chapman.
I do.
Right?
I do.
Well, you know, Brian, that our music director and Tyler, the program director, both went to Chapman.
Oh, awesome.
For communications.
Awesome. I love Chapman. That's where I went, in communications.
Is that right?
That's right.
How interesting. And Brian's father was on the Long Beach Police Department for years.
Yes, I think he told me that. But I don't remember if we ever worked around each other.
I don't know. It must be a big department at Long Beach, I would think.
A little over 1,000 cops. Around 1,000 cops, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, Brian's dad's retired now. He works, but he does a part-time thing at the district attorney's office in LA or something. I think that's what he's doing. So, yeah, you've got a few things in common with us. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in the San Fernando Valley in Granada Hills.
Oh, so you really are quite a local girl.
Yes.
And did you always want to be a cop? Was that your thing?
No, actually, I wanted to do film and television production, and that's what I went to Chapman for communications, film and television.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was great. I worked at CBS TV, worked on a couple films, but I'm sure, as you know, in the industry, you get a job for pre-production, then you lose your job, then you get a job for post-production, you lose your job. It was just too inconsistent.
Yeah.
And going to Chapman, I was driving from Orange to Sunset and Gower. And that was really kicking my rear. And I was just kind of done doing that. I wanted something more consistent and reliable. So a good friend of mine from high school joined LAPD. And I've got a lot of energy. I like to be out and about doing things. And I like people. So I thought, man, that sounds kind of cool. You know, you're out in a police car and you can go do a lot of fun things and take bad people to jail and make life better for everybody else. And so I lived in Long Beach at the time and applied and never looked back.
Were you athletic? I mean, I would be very scared to be a cop.
Yeah, no, I was athletic. I've always been athletic, did sports all the way through high school. And I did, in my 20s, I ran triathlons. I still run to this day. So that's always just been kind of part of my nature and who I am. And you're right. That is just built into who you are as a cop. It's built into the expectation of what you need to be fit.
Yeah, you do need to be physically fit. And I think mentally, emotionally, be able to look somebody in the eye and say, this is what's going on.
Exactly.
That's really a skill. Most of us are people pleasers. We can't help it. You know, it's just built into us. But cops have to be able to be tough when the, you know, going gets tough. So
yeah, that's command presence, and it's taught in the academy. And for a while, I was actually a drill instructor at the academy in Long Beach. And for those individuals in the academy where it wasn't natural to use their big boy or big girl voice or take control over a situation, we used to post them at opposite ends of the academy, and they would have to yell out radio codes to each other just to get used to hearing themselves.
Feel that voice.
And that loud voice come out of them, because you need to have that command presence when you get on scene to kind of maybe break up a fight or give direction in kind of a chaotic situation.
I love that term, command presence.
Yes.
I'm totally in command presence right now on the radio. Yeah, no, it's a very tough job. We all are very grateful for your service, obviously. And, Laguna Beach is a town where you'll find a lot of opinion about a lot of different things, you know. And we have obviously you have to police two really disparate communities. You have the community that lives here. And then, of course, every year we get mobbed by people from out of town.
Every time it's good weather, you do.
Absolutely. So, and that's that's a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So that's a really interesting thing to think about. A lot of cities don't have that. I don't know what it was like in Long Beach. Not really that much of a tourist destination.
It was, but it was pretty predictable with the Queen Mary.
Oh, of course, the aquarium or whatever, yeah.
Exactly. And then they obviously have just this past weekend they had Gay Pride, which is very huge, and the Toyota Grand Prix. Those are their biggest tourist pulls. But they're pretty predictable, and then conferences at the convention center.
Right, the people come and then they go away. And
correct.
It's, yeah. Got a lot of gang violence up there. You were involved in the gang violence department there, weren't you, for some time?
Yeah, I was the commander of our gang and violent crimes division for 3 years, from 2007 to 2010. So managing and strategizing gang violent crime, whether it was homicide, violent crime, narcotics, whatever it might be, managing all of that, robberies. And I had a cadre of about a little over 100 detectives put on that specific issue.
Such an odd thing for an English guy to understand how the gang thing, it's real war, or it was at one time. I don't know if it's still as bad as it was back in the day, but it was really warfare between these two big gangs mostly and some other gangs, cultural based or, you know, geographical based gangs. But for somebody who's never seen that kind of thing, it's really, it's quite shocking that it's able to happen. It's really a strange thing for me to understand. For somebody like you, you must have sort of lived it every day. But is it as bad as it was, the gang thing?
I don't think it is now, no. I think we're getting a good handle on it, and I think there's a lot of good technology out there that's helping us bring down criminals, such as DNA is one of the mm-hmm. things, where before it was a whodunit, and if you leave a trace of who you are there and we can track it back, at least even if you weren't the suspect, we can get to you through the DNA and interview you and then get to the next person, the next person, the next person. So it kind of gives us a place to start. So, and we have ballistics testing, yeah, if there's a firearm used, and so we can connect crimes just based on ballistics. And
so even if there's a sort of veil of silence within the gang itself, because everybody's going to be scared to let anybody know what's going on, then of course you've got the technology to undermine that now.
That's correct. And just good basic detective work as well, good interview techniques and those kinds of things.
And community policing as well, no doubt. If you can get to know the people in the area.
It's still very hard in those neighborhoods where there are lack of education, maybe not English speaking, and lack of finances.
Yeah.
That can be tough to infiltrate and create trust in those communities. We do, in Long Beach, they did a really good job, you know, yeah, but it's still real difficult at times.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. Yeah, very difficult. Well, Laura Farinella is the new chief of police in town here in Laguna Beach, California. And we're delighted to have you here. Now, I've learned a little bit more about you. We're going to do emergency preparedness, though, in a minute. I'll play a record, and we'll come back, and we'll talk a bit more about that. Thanks very much for coming in, Laura. It's really nice to see you.
Great.
Yes. Well, you know, why not? The Clash there on KX 93.5. I fought the law, and the law won. And Chief of Police, brand new Chief of Police, Laura Farinella is here to talk to us about emergency preparedness. We've talked for 15, 20 minutes about your good self. It's very nice to get to know you a bit. And I know the people in town, you know, we just like to know a little bit. You know what? We're quite a tight little community and we like to know each other. And I think, you know, where community policing is difficult in places like Long Beach and inner cities, it's quite important down here.
Oh, I think so too. And I think people are receptive to it and they welcome it and want it.
Yeah, we absolutely do. We want to be safe.
Yes.
You know, that's a good question, I think, for a cop. I know that the when you ask other people from other emergency services, especially like the Marine guys and the fire brigade, those guys, and you say, you know, what's your remit? What do you do it for? And they say, we're saving lives. That's what we're doing. They literally run in the ocean and risk their own lives to save people's lives or into burning buildings, whatever. And the cops, when you ask them, what's your overriding thing? They always say, to keep the place safe. We're all about safety. So I'm not going to ask you about that because that's clearly the sort of primary objective of the police force.
Right.
But what's your secondary concern? What's your personal secondary concern that wouldn't necessarily be the same for every cop?
Probably the make the police department better because I've been there. So handing it off to the next person behind me and making sure that, you know, you make anything better because you've been there. Institute change, new ideas, new policies, new practices to keep the cops safe, the community safer,
mm-hmm.
And maybe more efficient and more effective way of policing, not just the same old, same old.
Can you know an institution can always be better.
Correct. I agree with you.
And I think that any institution, as long as you can sort of be honest about, you know, where we could do things better, and I don't hear that very, very often from the police force because they're very, you know, you're protecting each other and this town and you're under a lot of pressure and it's a very dangerous job and anything could happen at any time. So that's understandable. But we generally don't hear that from the cops. I mean, do you think that's something that people would respond well to in town? If you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the policing in town. I don't know. I don't really come across the police very often because I'm a good boy.
But, that's good.
But, you know, I think every organization could look inward a little bit.
I think that your standard police agencies now know that's just part of our lives, that we are constantly evolving and changing in a positive way and modernizing, and that based on world events and local events, police policing changes. When 9/11 hit, terrorism and Homeland Security wasn't even a household name.
Yeah.
Now it is a way of life for the entire country and the world. So events will happen in our lives that we don't even foresee now that will change the way we police in the future.
Right.
But right now, as you well know, Ferguson is leading the way of how we will police in the future. And there's two things that have come out of that. Number one, you have to have a relationship with your community. If you fail to do that, and it's an us against them, you will fail as a police organization. And you will not be effective. You will have no trust. You will have no partnerships. And you just won't be moving forward together. And the second is technology. How will technology hold not only the cops accountable, but the community accountable that we encounter.
Yeah.
And right now it's body cameras. That is the hot topic. But there's going to be other technologies that will come into play as well that will kind of be the future of how we police.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a big deal. And it holds everybody accountable, not just bad guys, but also the cops too,
It does. And I think people, when they first realized, let's get the cops on video, they didn't realize that meant them too. It doesn't just mean the cops.
No,
But I think it's easy to point the finger at someone else, and then when someone comes in to complain, well, let me pull the video and see how you responded. What kind of tone did you set? And how did you, interact with the cop? And then you play it in front of them, and they go, ooh, geez.
Yeah, no, I think...
Never mind.
I think that judges will always be, take the cops' story into consideration. I don't think anybody's... I don't think there are many anti... cop judges out there, but it's good that everybody gets to be accountable, and it's some of the things that are happening in Ferguson around the country, those are the forces that really need to look at themselves and say, wait a minute, we're doing something not quite right here. Because the other side of that is, it says on the side of the cars, protect and serve. So that's a side of it, that's just as important.
Yeah, and for us on our end, if it's not us, let's look at what's happening in Ferguson and look at ourselves internally, and are we doing the right thing so that doesn't happen to us?
Yeah, no, that would be a terrible thing. So that's cool. All right, so we've talked about that, and that's very interesting. But the most important thing we're here to talk about, really, and we're almost out of time because I talk too much, is emergency preparedness. And when I asked you by email what element of emergency preparedness you'd like to talk about, you said everything. Let's talk about basic preparedness, and because you can never, it never gets boring. You've got to keep thinking about this stuff, because if it's not in the forefront of your mind and you haven't got prepared, if God forbid something should happen, you're in trouble. So where do you start with that?
Well, I think you start first with those people you live with and having a plan. And so with a plan, everybody kind of understands what the protocol is if something happens. If you're all at work, what's your plan? And I'm not going to tell you what your plan should be, but that's what you need to come up with yourself. You need to come up with a plan. And then also, are you prepared with food, water, blankets, a change of clothes, all those kinds of things, not only for yourself, but for your pets?
Right.
Think about if you are on a freeway and there's a major earthquake, or whatever it might be, or a fire, and you can't get to your house. Do you have water, a snack in your car, like granola bars that can withstand hot weather, a blanket, a change of clothes, all those little things that you might not think are really necessary? What's wrong with having a little teeny tub you get from Target in your car and put a couple water bottles, a couple granola bars, non-perishables, an old pair of tennis shoes, an old pair of sweats, and a blanket?
Yeah.
Just keep that off to the side in your trunk. And then replicate that same kind of thing at your home. You can put it in the garage and put some cans of soup in there or whatever it might be, some old cans of dog food. And then every year, kind of replenish it so it's fresh and new again.
They say you should have, I think I read somewhere that you should have about 72 hours worth of stuff.
That's correct. And somewhere. That's not very much. No. When you think about, what do you really need, right? Put a jar of peanut butter in there, some crackers, some soup cans, basic stuff.
Yeah.
Granola bars, probably you can put some sodas in there if you want, whatever.
Just something to keep your blood sugar up and make, right.
Yes.
Obviously, perishables not going to work because you'd have to replace them every week. And it's not the kind of thing you want to be thinking about all the time. The thing that always concerns me is that people freak out about this stuff. There's this whole element of society that's forever, stocking up with a zillion, going to Costco and stocking up and firearms and God knows what else. You don't need any of that stuff. You just need to make sure that you can look after yourself and your pets and your kids. Now, the pets thing, that's probably something where you'd need to liaise with your neighbours a little bit.
That's true. And you got to think about your neighbors. What if you have an elderly neighbor, or say there's some family members that they work. You have neighbors that work and they have young kids at home that are maybe in their teens that are home alone until their parents get home from work.
Right.
Go check on them.
Yeah.
Make sure they're okay. Think about having a little bit extra, you know, stash for them, not just for yourself, and be neighborly like that. So there's a lot of things you can do to prepare. And then in a city like Laguna Beach, you got to remember there's only 3 ingresses and egresses in the city. So what will our evacuation routes be? We are going to be using this radio station.
That's a fancy word. You mean like roads in and out?
That's right.
Right.
But we're going to be using this radio station. We have a feed directly from our Emergency Operations Center in the police department to this radio station. And we are going to partner with you in getting the word out at what that evacuation route maybe if we were to have to use one.
I know. We could not be prouder of that. It just means that we're part of the...
It's awesome.
You know, part of the city. And we're very, very grateful to everybody who's sort of given us the chance to prove ourselves in that way. Hopefully, we'll never have to use it.
Hopefully, as long as it's there, that'll be wonderful if we didn't have to use it. Also, go on to alertoc.com and click on to Laguna Beach. And you can sign up for, text messages, emails of anything emergency preparedness related or any information that needs to be pushed out related to any emergency events.
You know, that's a great system. So that's where we get all our, when I go on the air and say, hey, the canyon's blocked or whatever. In fact, the canyon's blocked right now because Laguna College of Arts and Design are having the graduation thing. Now, obviously, I wouldn't know that. But the city and the cops send me these little texts. And they don't inundate me. They don't drive me crazy. But it's great to know, especially for me. I live out the canyon. So, you know, really good. It's really good to go to that. They'll email and text you. What was the website again?
AlertOC.com. And yeah. You can go right on to your city, Laguna Beach, or what, even if you're listening and you're a neighboring city. You just go on, look for your city, and you can sign up for it. And you'll get everything related to your city.
Now, going back to this, your plastic box in your garage of stuff you'll need, peanut butter and maybe a can of soup or something like that. Obviously, can opener, be
correct.
Good. Don't want to get
yes.
So I'm thinking about household supplies, because it's not, you wouldn't just want food, obviously. You'd probably want some moist wipes, maybe throw those
great
in
idea.
There. I don't know, probably maybe some cutlery and a plate. I'm just trying to think of those kinds of things. You know, maybe some sunscreen, just simple. It's not
hat.
A big deal, a hat, right, exactly. Also, it occurred to me, documents. Make sure you've got your driver's license and your insurance thing. I mean, those should be in the car anyway, but other documents, birth certificate, passport, the kind of things that you don't want to have to replace if, God forbid, the house slides down the hill. You want to be able to have that stuff to hand to prove who you are, to, you know, all
everything.
Of that kind of
also
stuff.
Also photographs. People really want to, they're valuable photographs and
yeah.
have, you know, like historical You know, photographs of their families and things like that. That's another one to keep all
easily to hand. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't want to say it. I shouldn't really say it, but I don't know. Your will, everything should be to hand, not buried in some back closet underneath the stairs. You know,
that's correct.
Yeah.
Those are all great suggestions.
Now, what about shutting off the utilities? That kind of thing. Should people be thinking about that?
So your gas, you should always have a wrench by the gas meter, and you should know how to do it. And actually nowadays it's pretty simple, and you can even call the gas department, and they'll come out and show you what it is.
Yeah.
But it's always good to have a wrench nearby, and there's like a little sticker you can put on next to it, and it shows you what direction to turn it just to shut the gas off.
It sounds like you could really just spend an hour on this one Saturday afternoon.
Yes, it's not that much.
Right, and just have it just be just so that you're the guy that isn't the idiot on the day. You know, you don't want to be that guy who's like, oh,
we really want people to help take care of themselves, like you said, for that first critical 72 hours. So then, because that's when it's kind of like the fog of war. Everything is just kind of crazy and we're responding to the incident.
Yeah.
So if people in the outlying areas can at least take care of themselves while
right,
we hunker
for 72
down,
hours. Those that can
that would
do
be
that.
Awesome.
Those that can do that, because obviously the first responders and the cops and everybody are going to be inundated, and they're going to need to do a lot of things and set up a lot of systems and corral everybody and blah, blah, blah. If you know where you're going and what you need and you've got it in the back of the car and the car's got a tank of gas, you are ahead of the game.
That's correct. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And know that cell sites might be down if it's a large earthquake, and even your phone won't work, your Wi-Fi is not going to work. Yeah, calm down. It'll get back up again. Believe me, we all want to communicate as well. Sure. It'll eventually get back up again. Be patient.
Right. Because if the aliens have landed, all bets are off, right?
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen.
That's right. That's right. It'll be a new for all of us.
A whole new day. Right. You might not even be chief of police anymore.
They might
bring their own guy down.
Probably not.
Laura, it's so nice to meet you.
You too. You as well. It's been great.
And I was going, oh my God, how am I going to fill this half hour? Oh. And now we could talk another half hour easily.
Easy.
You know. Anyway, there's another website that I went to today and found it. It's LagunaBeachCity.net.
That's correct.
They have tons of information about this.
Yes.
And a survey you can take so that they can be prepared should there be some kind of disaster or emergency. So everybody's trying to work together, ask the right questions, figure out what they would do. You know, this is not entirely on your shoulders. It's not entirely on the police's shoulders. We're all going to have to sort of work together and try and keep each other safe.
Self-responsibility.
Yep. Laura Farinelli, thank you. Farinella. Thank you very much for coming into KX93.5.
Thanks for having me.
Come in anytime and visit. And if you've got something you want to let people know, we love to get your emails and we'll pass on any information you want, you know.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. So this has been, let me get this right. This has been the Emergency Preparedness Radio Program. It's on once a month on the third Monday of the month. Usually Tyler does it. And it's been really interesting and enlightening for me, and it's lovely to meet the Chief of Police. This is KX93.5.
Awesome.